Good to see you. And many of you, of course, are at home watching today and worshiping. I'm wondering if you will stand even in your home and worship our Lord with this great call to worship. It's hymn number 350, if you happen to have a hymn at home. Otherwise, it should show up here. Here we go. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much.
Welcome, church. Welcome to church this morning. It's a little different. It's a pretty small congregation here, very small, but I am so glad that we're able to do this. And I want to welcome you to church here at Grant Hills online and a few in person. It's a great blessing to live in this era of technology, that we can still have some semblance of church, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for those that have the technology that I don't have to help out with this. Now, the governor of Nevada has requested that all churches remain streaming our services over the internet until April 16th, and so that's past Easter. And so we as a church are going to do our very best to honor our civil authorities by obeying their lawful request. I think it's reasonable. And so I hope that we can be back to having church in person as soon as possible. But let's be patient. Let's be prayerful. And let's consider one another. And as this morning, I want you to pray that, I mean, there's 25 people in just Washoe County that have contracted the coronavirus, and they believe that number is going to rise. And so, you know, be careful and be wise. As we look down the church calendar, well, it's been decimated. It's clear that many things are being put on hold. We're still looking at, you know, church camps and stuff for the summer. We're not going to cancel everything until we have to, but there's been a lot of things canceled. I want to encourage each of us to take this time to, you know, take it in stride and to be patient as our lives and things are getting rearranged. And so just hang in there. You can call me. You can call Pastor Jared. You can call your deacons. If you need something especially, we need to know. If you need me to know, you got to call me, and it's okay to call me. And so with that said, presently, Grant Hills Baptist Church, we're going to give you several opportunities to connect online with our church and pastors via Facebook Live, which is what you're looking at right now. And so on Sundays, we're going to be doing a 9:30. I hope your children like that this morning, a children's program at 9:30. And then at 10 a.m., you just got to watch many of you, about 46 families, watched our Sunday School Gospel Project. And then at 11 service in the morning, we'll be here. Also, this Tuesday, we're going to be streaming live on Facebook for Celebrate Recovery service. And so all those that want to tune into that, you can. Maybe you've never been to see our meeting. You can. You can go online and do that. On Wednesdays, we'll have prayer meeting at 7 p.m., and you can see that streaming live also with Facebook. Also, Pastor Jared is going to be doing a devotion almost every morning other than Sunday, Monday through Saturday at 8:30 to 9 a.m., right about then. I think that has to do when he has coffee or not. I don't know. But you like him better with coffee. And so it'll happen between there sometime. And I encourage you, I hopped in with one of those first time I've ever been on Facebook was yesterday. And so I'm learning that. And so don't get too excited. I probably won't stay there, but you never know. Anyway, let's think about some other things that I want you to know about. And that would be some of our prayer requests. And we'll handle these too. Pray for Kathy Holton and the family. She is nearing going to glory. She's still on this side of glory, but it's getting close. Would you pray for the Mulkeys and the Holtons? Would you pray for Stephanie Lee? She's in the hospital right now. And they're checking some things out with her heart. And so would you pray for her? I think she's going to have to stay there till Monday or Tuesday. Hey, it's been great having Ken and Terry Brantley. I'm so sad they're not here. They went to move to Tennessee, but it was so good having them. And would you pray for them? And it's great that Lynette Malone got home. And also Javi was able to get home. And even Pat Pedersen is home, which is a really, wow, she's been gone a long time. And so I wish I could see them all. Maybe I'll get to do that this week. But let's go to Lord in prayer, and we'll go back to some singing here. Would you bow with me, church, as we come before the throne of grace? Lord, we come before you. We thank you that we can have church. And Lord, church is not about a building, as we're finding out. Church is about people. And so, Lord, help us to come together in our hearts. Help us to know that the Mulkeys and the Holtons, they're being prayed over all the time. That, Lord, would you be with Ann Mulkey? Would you be with Kathy Holton? Would you give her dying grace and the family also be with her children, her son and her daughter, and her grandkids? And, Lord, it's a large family. I just pray you comfort them right now. Lord, be with Stephanie Lee as she's most likely watching this from her hospital bed. Would you bless her? Thank you for Ken and Terry being in our church. It was a great blessing. Bless them as they go to Tennessee. And thank you for bringing some people home. It was really iffy this week if people could get home. And thank you for Lynette getting home. Would you put your healing hand upon her? And thank you for bringing Javi home and Pat Pedersen. Now, Lord, would you help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts, if we haven't already, to really receive your word and to sing with all our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
This is our offertory hymn, of course, and Brother Jared will be up in a bit, but it's at Calvary, hymn number 245. If you're there at home and you're not used to singing, now's a good chance. Just get to singing. All right, let's go.
right. I'm going to do my best to take the offering. This is going to be three different ways that you can give. First is going to be on the phone. And if you have a smartphone, one that doesn't flip, then you can download an app called Fellowship One Go. We will also make this PowerPoint available as a link on the Facebook page if you want to see it, if the text is too small or something. But go to the App Store. Go to the App Store and the Google Play Store, and you can download this. It's going to ask you for a domain. It's very fancy. It's Granite Hills is the domain. And then you're going to put in a user. You're going to put your first name and a period and then your last name. And then it's going to ask for a password. You can create something memorable, or if you need help, you can call me. I'd be glad to help you. Anna Oatman would also be very helpful if you need some help with this. Once you're signed in to Fellowship One Go, put in your info and a cool picture like that one. Once you've got that all updated, the big advantage is we will be able to contact you in the event that something changes or something that is impactful to everyone. You need to know about it. You should be able to see other people's pictures and or email. That should have been enabled this week. Once all that is in, you will be able, Lord willing, to give. We don't have a screenshot of that, but on that application, there is a button that says give. And that is a way through the app to give to Granite Hills Baptist Church. You can do that either with a debit card or a credit card. You can even set up recurring payments there. Now, some of you say, hey, is there some place I could just mail my tithe check into? Yes, absolutely. And I know, again, it's a little small. This will be posted up for you to see. But you can mail to our church at a P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box 61240, Reno, Nevada, 89506. And if you could also put in the address Granite Hills Baptist Church, that will help us. Finally, you can give on the website. If you go to GHBC Reno, here's the screenshot of the giving on the app. You'll see the little give button in the bottom right. On the website, you will see a giving screen at ghbcreno.org/giving, and there are numerous options from a one-time payment to a recurring gift. Say you want to go ahead and have Grant Hills pull out the building fund amount that you've pledged. It can be set up to do that on a monthly basis. From our church financial secretary, Tanya Pena, thank you for putting this together, Tanya. She has said, as often as we can use debit cards, that's helpful, but you can also use credit cards if you need to. If you have any questions about this, anything that you go, I'm trying it and it's just not working and I need some help, please use the Contact Us link on the church website or give me a call and we will do our best to walk you through it so that we can continue to give to the Lord even when we can't be physically here to do it. God bless you, and let's go to some singing.
We're going to remember in song this morning that God is still on his throne, even in the midst of all the chaos around us. He is not surprised by it. He is in control. He is supremely good and supremely wise. Let's sing about that.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.
Sing that verse again.
You are not a God created by human. You are not a God dependent on anything.
Strength.
holy.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Stumbling in the dark, life put me on a road I prayed I'd never have to walk. Helpless and uncertain, staring at a wall, I wondered where the Lord was in it all. But God said, to understand and not to question why.
days when you feel your heart can't take it, I will be the one to make you strong. I'll be there to help you carry on.
Church, wonderful to have you here, the few that you are here, and turn your Bibles to Luke, the 23rd chapter, Luke the 23rd. Thank you, Hopi, for singing that. That blessed my heart. That's very apropos, and I appreciate you singing that. It's been a different week, probably for everybody. I know that we've been having cabin fever, and as a pastor, I've been getting phone calls, some from mothers, on their children. So you kids, I want you to behave. I want you to think about what's going on in your family. Listen to your mom and dad and get along, because you have a little cabin fever. I know that. I had one mother call me upset that her daughter put their little brother in the dryer and turned it on. And she said she spanked the daughter, and I said, wow, that's a little much. Well, she said she should have put a scented dryer sheet in there before she ever did it. And so, be patient with one another, and that will go way better for you in family times. Now, I put together my sermon prep 6 months ago. In November, I put 2020 together, and I picked this sermon series for this time. And I'm just going to trust the Lord that that's where I should be. And so we're sticking with a subject that, it's hard. Dying declarations of Jesus. That Jesus gave us some information the few moments before he died that are incredible to have. As I've stated before, dying declarations, as a policeman, we knew a lot about those because in our Nevada Revised Statutes, a dying declaration is admissible in court. It means it can be brought in. It's called hearsay. And I've been on those where someone has told me, and those around us, maybe something about the crime, who had stabbed them or shot them, and we get to ask that. And some people have passed away, and we use that in court. And Jesus has these dying declarations. I am always touched by the words spoken by those in the last moments of their lives. Let me give you just a few. Andrew Jackson said this. These were his last words before he passed away. My dear children, do not grieve for me. I am my God's. I belong to Him. I go but a short time before you, and I hope and trust to meet you all in heaven. What a great thing to say to his family. Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, said this, "It is a great mercy that I have no manner of fear or dread of death. I could, if God pleased, lay my head back and die without terror this afternoon." Those were his last words. Probably one of my favorites, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody's death was quite incredible. As he was passing away, he said this, "I see earth receding, heaven is opening, God is calling me." What a great, great thing to hear. And of course, what we're going to hear today, the last thing that is recorded by a dying thief, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The last words are special words. And let's read that. Would you stand with me? And I mean everybody. I mean you, Lynette. Get up out of the couch. I know you're in your pajamas sitting right there. All right, stand up with me in honor of God's word. We're going to read Luke, the 23rd chapter, 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserved for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. And I'm so thankful for your word. Lord, thank you for remembering me. And Lord, so many others have a testimony that are watching this and that are in this church, that you have touched our hearts, that you have not forgotten us, that you have remembered us. And Lord, what's wonderful is you have remembered me and you have forgotten my sin. It is out of your sight. It's buried in the depths of the sea, and I praise your name for it. And so, Lord, as we hear the scripture preached, would you bless us and open our ears and our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, what do we find here at the cross for people who are in need of life? All these wonderful words of Jesus from the cross speak to us. And they have great, great words to say to us that would bless us. And this second statement that Jesus says on the cross, and we remember the first one, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," was his first. And almost immediately, within a few minutes, Jesus speaks his second one. The first one was to his father. The second one was to a dying thief next to him. And it was, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And we see that Jesus is, first of all, asking for forgiveness from his father to some people who don't know what they're doing. And now he turns around and shows you how much he can save. And he saves somebody. And these second words of Jesus from the cross comes with a huge story of two men dying with Jesus. We see it often, three crosses on a hill. It has a story with it. And so before we get to these words that Jesus spoke, let's look at the backstory of these two men. The picture of these three crosses on a hillside say so much, and the crucifixion is the centerpiece of all human history. Really, The three crosses proclaim that there are only three ways you can die. And here they are. The first one is you can be dying for the sins of the world. And that cross is for only one person. And that is Jesus. And Jesus that day died for the sins of the world. For you and for me. That cross cannot be occupied but by one person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, which we heard in our Sunday school lesson today. The next cross, you could be dying for your own sins on a cross. There's the second way you can die, and really the only one way we can as humans. Many people, for the most part, die without Christ in their own sins. Or you can be like that repentative sinner, thief. You can die forgiven by Christ. That's it. That's what the picture of the three crosses say. Also, that there are only two responses to the cross of Christ. You can either believe it or not. You can be in belief or unbelief. And that your sins can be remembered or they can be forgotten. And your soul be remembered. I visited that spot called Golgotha just 2 weeks ago. It's just outside the North Gate on the Damascus Road. It is an incredible place because it marks the greatest event in human history, of all history. The skull rock right there, the place of the skull, is very plain, and there is a garden close by the tomb. It is a really sacred place. I was on the phone with one of the men, Joe Smith, who went with our group, and he told me just yesterday, "You know, Pastor Mark, that was one of the greatest moments in all of Israel's trip, is to be in that garden, to know what Jesus did for me, and to take the Lord's Supper, and to thank Him." It was made very clear to us by the interpreter at the scene that there were that these men with Jesus were most likely not crucified on a hilltop, but right next to the road. Crucifixion was a punishment for crimes, and people were allowed to look at the accuser. They could spit on him. They could accuse him. Murderers, the family members could come up and hail abuse or throw things at them. It was a rough way to go. And what a sight that was to behold, to see the Lamb of God suffering on a cross. And I also thought of the two thieves that died alongside Jesus. How they were so much the same at some points and so different at other points. The question that I'd like to ask today is this: on which cross are you dying on right now? You're going to go sooner or later. But how are you going to go? We all bear a cross, either for the Lord Jesus or for the world, the flesh, and the devil. We all have burdens. The Bible says there are only two paths, one that leads to life and one that leads to death, and many are those that go that way. So let's first look at how these two men were very much the same. They had many things in common. I'm just going to give you a few things. But eternally and prospectively here are some things that they were the same. First of all, they were both dying as criminals. They were both dying in their sin. One was not better than the other. One didn't look over from his cross and goes, "Well, I only stole 100 things. You stole 200 things." None of that was going on. If compared to each other, there was no real difference. One might have done more than the other, but they were more or less the same, just thieves. In some parts of Scripture, it even says murderers. They enjoyed sin and were consumed with this world and what they could take from it and their own self-interest. They're very, very common to folks like us today. Just consumed with the world. In retrospect, we all fall in this order in some context or another. If you can't place yourself up there with these thieves, you haven't looked at yourself well. Not according to Scripture. We are very selfish and self-centered and looking out for, well, number one. And the problem is that we are all dark sinners. And we are in sin. And at whatever shade you are, you're just pure. You're not pure white. There's none righteous. No, not one, the Bible says. And yes, outside of Christ, there is no distinction with God. Who we are. We are all sinners under the wrath of a holy God, every one of us. We can say as Paul did, I can boast before men, but not before God. We might try to compare each other. I remember that they were given a scale to Mother Teresa and Billy Graham years ago, asking them, if Jesus is a 10 and the worst sinner in the world's a 1, where are you? And Billy Graham said he was a 1. And Mother Teresa says she was a -1. See, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we see who we really are. And those thieves up there were no different than me and you before God. Second of all, something else they were similar. They were both in very difficult circumstances. Well, they were dying the death of a crucifixion. They both had this in common. They were being crucified for sins that they had committed. Their circumstances were common. They were difficult and unbearable and seemed all without hope. They had this in common, and it is a good to be reminding ourselves that we must all, the rest, come to this time of looking death square in the face, sinner or saint. This is passing our way. Whether difficult or easily leaving this earth really doesn't matter, but we're all going to meet that. It will be difficult, and these men were in very difficult situations together at their death. Thirdly, they both called out to Jesus. I find that very, very interesting. They both called out, but in very different terms, as we'll get to that in a moment. But they did all both call out. Yes, when these circumstances looked very bleak, they both called out to Jesus. In fact, the Gospels of Matthew and Mark say they both mocked Jesus along with the crowd and said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us too. Even the wicked thief who was unrepentant called out to Jesus. Did you know that you can call out to Jesus and He hear you? And you not be delivered? The calling out to Jesus, everyone does at times in severe circumstances. But He hears only one thief in a saving way. The Bible says not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. The calling out to God must be in a certain disposition. I've heard a lot of people call out to God in distress. I've heard people say they're going to change their lives if God gets them out of this. In fact, I think before I was a Christian, I said it. I was that way. I'd call out to God, but I didn't want to change. I didn't want God to change me. I wanted to go back. You see, the one thief just called out to God so he could go back to his sinful life. I want to ask you, are you calling out to God for you or for the glory of God? Fourthly, lastly, they both died by having their legs broken. Boy, that's tough. They both died the same death, as if there were no difference between them. They died in the end by having their legs broken and then dying from shock and suffocation. It is a good lesson for us to learn that it's not how we die, but who we live for when we die. You know, there's a preacher out there. There's a preacher out there, especially right now, that will preach that if you come to Christ, all will be well. And you'll have health and wealth if you have enough faith. It's been called the health and wealth gospel, or as Junior Hill calls it the blab it and grab it gospel. There is no promise of this in Scripture. Of you're going to come to Jesus and there's going to be a lot of things going to go right for you in your soul. And you're going to be at peace of God with God. But to have all the money you want and all the health you want, well, that's just not in Scripture. And presently in our world, two things are clearly being threatened. That's why we're having this Facebook Live. Our wealth is definitely being threatened, and our health is being threatened. The two gods of America are being threatened, and we must turn from them and not depend on them for our happiness and our joy. It's in Christ. And there's some great promises both for this life and the one to come, but a life free of trouble and difficulty and of death on a flowery bed of ease is not promised in the Word of God. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So there's a lot of things here that these two men had in common. Let's now look at the things that they did not have. And from a world's point of view, these men died exactly the same. But from the spiritual world, they are very different. In fact, even to this day, these two men are so different and separated for eternity by one simple act of faith. So let's look. Now, what did they not have in common? Well, the first thing, and it's a big thing, is one of them confessing their sins to Jesus and the world. You see, that one thief did something that the other thief did not, and it was an admission to admit something. When this thief thought of his life, he admitted that he was getting what was deserved. He admitted that the other thief would not. He says, man, we're getting what we deserve. I deserve this. You know what? That's a sign of repentance. That when we come to the place where you go, you know what? I'm just getting what I deserve. I appreciate that so much when I talk to people that are wanting to come to faith in Christ. They own it. And this thief owns it. Not that he was going to go to heaven. Not that that was going to happen. But however, what he did next was admit that Jesus had done nothing wrong. You see, admitting that we're not right won't get you to heaven. It's just one step closer. But when we start saying, not only am I wrong, but look at Jesus. Jesus is righteous. Hey, we're getting close to a great place. When we admit we're sinners and Christ is holy and righteous and blameless. Now that's close. But we're not saved yet. You know, the pastor, my pastor, Pastor Thompson, he was the pastor here before I was. He was my pastor. I came to faith under his ministry. And he was before he was a Christian, he was a whiskey running outlaw, as he would say. And he would tell you, he was zealous for God. Why, he would say, if you told me there the Bible wasn't true, I'd smack you right in the jaw. Nice Christian thing to do. He says, I believed it all and I was lost. I'd admit, he had no problems admitting he was wrong and that Jesus was righteous, but he was lost. That's interesting because we get to the next thing he says that was different. He asking Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. You see, this is the point of salvation for this thief. He admitted his sin. He admitted that Christ is holy and righteous. But then he takes that last step and asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Total trust in Christ for your soul. You ask him to save you, to take you to heaven. This is the place where salvation comes. This is the place where we throw all of our trust in Jesus. I think it's a remarkable point of faith. I think out of all of the scripture, this is the most crazy place for faith. For a man dying on a cross looks over at another man dying on the cross, and it is revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that that is the Son of God. That is amazing to me. And he gives his life to Christ right there. Do you see that this man was given great faith? That he saw a man mocked by the world, despised by religion, denied by the closest friends, and helplessly bleeding to death, yet through all that, considered Jesus Lord of heaven and earth, and with power to take him to the kingdom at his death. This is amazing. This is the point of salvation. This is when we say, Jesus saved me, I believe in you, you have the power to do it. Well, we see here that there's something else that's different. Getting a promise from Jesus. Only one thief got that. And with that heartfelt request, that thief heard from God the second dying declaration of Jesus. It was given to him and him only. It wasn't given to anybody else. Jesus saves people one person at a time. And he gets this dying declaration. Maybe something that you would give your everything you own, you'd give everything you have. You would, if there'll be billions of people in eternity that would like to come back and hear these words spoken to them. Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. What a blessed man. I don't care his legs were broken. He doesn't care anymore. He's been there 2,000 years. He's been in eternity with Jesus for 2,000 years and is still there glorifying our Savior. Well, let's close here. There's a promise of heaven for you at the cross, dear friend. Things haven't changed. Heaven's still wide open. God is still full of grace. He is not only that, risen from the grave, as we will celebrate here in just a few weeks. Just as soon as Jesus requests forgiveness on the people who were killing him, he then saves somebody and takes them to heaven. It's so interesting to me that Jesus wishes forgiveness for everyone and then shows you how to get it. He actually offers forgiveness and then shows you how you can have it, to admit you're a sinner, to admit who Jesus is, the Son of God, and to trust Him. That is how we get to heaven. And when we look back at these two thieves, they have mostly everything in common, right down to the day they died, except for one thing, and it's Jesus. It is the one difference that changes everything. And it made the difference between heaven and hell. On the day of his death, he turned to Jesus in faith, had all his sins forgiven him. And he is right now with Jesus and has been there almost 2,000 years, bright shining as the sun. But do not forget, dear brothers and sisters, that from all evidence, the other thief perished in his sins. He has been living in torment for almost 2,000 years. And he was so close to Jesus. His blood most probably came close to touching him. Jesus was that close. Jesus spoke in his presence. This thief literally stumbled over the King of Glory and refused to believe in him. This is only added to his torment, no doubt. He awaits his judgment that is sure to come, and he is cast into the last days into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I mean, this is separation, and this is real, and all that I just told you, I didn't say that. The Bible says that. That there's a big difference here. These two criminals teach us a lesson today. One thief reminds us that Christ can save you at any hour he wishes, right down to the last moment. And the other thief reminds us that we can get very close to Christ and yet lose our souls. Let me ask you this question. How close are you this day and being undecided for Jesus Christ. When you get to see Jesus face to face, there's only one thing that is going to make the difference. It's your personal faith in Jesus Christ. The thief that is in heaven today did not do anything good to get saved, clearly. He didn't have time to clean up his life. He didn't have time to go get baptized. He didn't have time to do anything. He had time for one thing, and that was to look to Jesus for everything. And I think right now, we don't have time for anything but to look for Jesus and look to Jesus for everything, for our souls and for our whole life. I would like to ask you today, do you know Jesus like this? Have you come to faith like this? Maybe you've been to church a lot. Maybe you've been close to Christ, but have never come. That was my story. That was my story for all my life until I was 21. I thought I was doing good. I was going to church. But I knew better. My heart wasn't right. And I had to come to faith in Christ. My life's never been the same since. Would you bow your heads here in this church and you at home? Would you bow your heads? And I just want to invite you to ask Jesus to remember you. To not forget you, but to forget your sins. And I'm going to pray in a moment, and then we're going to close with a song as we close this service out. But if you would like to speak about your soul, just call me. Call Pastor Jared. We would love to talk to you about your soul. Lord, we come before you. I thank you so much for this service. I thank you for being able to preach in this to this congregation. Would you bless those here and that are at home? Lord, would you help us to consider our ways? Would you help us to look to you in these difficult times? That at the end of the day, Lord, the only thing that will matter is whether we have Jesus or not. Whether we have you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us to make our calling and election sure. Help us, Lord, to get right with you. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Forgive us for stepping away from you. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you. You enjoy this song as we close our service.
We're about to sing All I Have is Christ. And this is an opportunity to remember, if you're a believer, what Christ has done in saving you. Or to consider what it might be like if you're not yet trusting in Jesus. And in the third verse, we're going to sing, Now, Lord, I would be yours alone. And it's a time of consecration to the Lord. So let's sing together, All I Have is Christ. If you'd like to, please stand with us.
Sin and promise. Hallelujah, Jesus is my.